As soon as Mark started making fun of Tyler's tiny big toes, all of my ADHD brain did was think of Tyler as a reverse velociraptor. A slimy pickle one. When did I make fun of your tiny big toes?
It was when somebody brought up the fact that, like, exercise doesn't stunt your growth at a young age. Or, like, lifting doesn't stunt your growth at a young age. And I talked about how I shattered both my growth plates and my big toes. And you're like,
you got the Tyler's tiny big toes.
I don't remember that. That doesn't seem like me at all. I'm a very kind individual. I would never make fun of anyone's tiny, tiny toes.
So, immediately, by the way, people put on the limb extension, like, surgery on my toes as Photoshop. And I'm like a ballerina. Did you see the image?
No.
Oh, my God. Just go onto the hashtag GMFST on Twitter.
On Twitter?
Okay. Yeah. I want people to use the subreddit more, but people are using Twitter a lot.
That's all right. Wherever people feel like it, I suppose. Where would that be?
I liked it, so it should be.
In your likes?
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Those are some long tootsies. It's not even your tootsie. It's just your foot.
Yeah, I know.
Your foot. The phalanges of your foot are gargantuan.
Here, I'm going to show you the link to the tweet so you can see the full tweet.
I appreciate it.
Oh, I do have things to present to you, Mark.
Present to me?
Something that'll be a great video compliment thing.
Video compliment thing? Okay. Whenever this mysterious YouTube channel starts?
Yeah, whenever this video that I went on this trip for is ready to be posted. Yeah, totally. Got naked, ran on the ice, may have gotten a few cuts because the ice wasn't smooth at the time when I belly flopped, but...
You belly flopped into the ice? Ah, that's a bold move, bold choice.
I never got to go on the ice, unfortunately.
Ah, okay, not after you belly flopped naked down to the middle of the ring.
In the middle of the game.
Yeah, that was dangerous with all the blades going by.
Not to mention the hard rubber puck that was flying at 90 plus miles an hour.
Yeah, no wonder actually belly flopping would have been the safest move. In that
Hook it down!
The smart decision. Yeah, because if you flopped on your back, you would have been exposed.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know, right?
Especially if it was standing up and just...
For those of you who don't know, we're starting the episode now. Hello! Welcome to Go, My Favorite Sports Team, the ultimate sports podcast for everyone who loves sports and wants to know sports. Tyler recently belly flopped naked in the middle of the Tampa Bay Lightning's.
Ding, 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 ding.
Is that good
That's
ding
correct.
Or bad? Yay! Hockey stadium, arena, rink.
All, I think, can be used, yes.
I used all of them. And he was naked for about 15 minutes.
That is not...
And they couldn't catch him. They called him Slippery Tyler. He lubed himself up, but he didn't use antifreeze-based lubricant. Therefore, he eventually got stuck to the ice. They had to bring in the Zamboni to clear him off.
Like the Zamboni gets like a spatula on the front to scrape underneath and just...
Yeah. The alternative was going under and then just a smear of blood on the ice.
Oh, God.
But that didn't happen. He's back. He's safe. Week-long journey. He's returned to us here at the GMFST studios. How you feeling?
What?
How are you feeling?
I feel great, man.
Good.
I mean, I'm a little jet-lagged still from being on the East Coast because I was down in Tampa where I was swimming as I was walking because
you were
it was
swimming
90...
in the ice rink?
No, it was 90%+ humidity.
Oh, it was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
It was hot over here, too. Like, big heat wave came in.
Yeah, but it's dry heat here. Since I've come back. Since I've come back, it's feels so much cooler because my body, you know, when I sweat, it evaporates. In Florida, when you sweat, more moisture comes to join your sweat to cover you in more wetness.
This is only tangentially sports related. I would like to keep this conversation to only sports related conversations, unless you're going to talk about the Gatorade being introduced in the early mid 1900s, and then that was in Florida, wasn't it?
Yes,
that was in Florida. I remember because I watched a documentary at some point that was probably a commercial for Gatorade.
Well,
to be perfectly honest,
it probably was because it was created by the University of Florida.
That was it. That was a thing.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
We did briefly when we talked about iconic sports foods.
Right.
Go back to that episode if you haven't listened to it.
Iconic sports foods. But in other news, now that Tyler's back, you guys at home finally get to confront Tyler with all of your spicy hot takes.
Oh, we're starting with it this
time? I want to start with it because there's some really good ones and they've been kind of building up because we haven't been able to record in a spell. And so I need to get them out because they're very, very spicy. We already went over your tiny big toes.
The beautiful picture.
A good picture. You have a new word. Shelby the Earthworm has pointed out that you no longer use nuance as much, but now you use the word fundamental. And now that I think about this, you say it a very, very large amount.
Time to change again.
There's a whole breadth of English language that you could use. But then again, like I say the same shit all the time. People are starting to call me out for it, so I can no longer call you out about it because then people are going to call me out about it, and I don't want to be made fun of. I have a fragile ego and I can't take the criticism.
Oh,
that's not true. I've got a very thick ego. I've got a girthy ego, if you know what I'm talking about.
You thrive off of fuck you energy. I do. Well, if my new word is fundamental, then I mean, it just fits where it fits, you know? It's the word that comes to mind in that particular sentence. Uh-huh. And it's a great nuance that adds to the depth of sport.
I don't think you're using any word. I don't think you used a single word correctly in that entire sentence.
Which was my goal. Honestly.
All right, next spicy hot take from Poopak One. My hot take on Tyler. Tyler, I can't believe you still haven't made a soccer primer. It is the biggest and most important sport in the world, and your American brains, for some reason, refuse to acknowledge that. Just do it.
Okay, you want to know why I haven't done the soccer primer?
Why?
I need to educate myself more on the different rules and regulations that are within soccer, whether it's the World Cup or Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played soccer since I was 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
I understand some of the rules to some degree, but there's a lot that I don't fully understand and I need to study. But also, if you've noticed with the other primers, they align when major events in that sport are happening. So I am waiting for when the world has their eyes on the sport, hence the World Cup, for when that primer comes about.
All right, that makes total sense. That makes total sense. Therefore, Poopak One, you have been slam dunked. Take that back where you came from. That's what you get. And I will no longer let the ghost of Poopak One channel into my beard.
Poopak One.
All right, the next person to inhabit my corporeal form is Bubbles Zap. Tyler broke into Mark's house? When and why did Tyler break into Mark's house? Was mentioned in the team episode and was completely blown by immediately. LOL.
Okay.
Tell the world why you broke into my house.
Okay, I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was an important meeting that you were supposed to be at. I don't remember if it was like agency management. I don't remember, but it was, you were late and I was getting texts and phone calls at the time. And I knocked on your door. I called you. I texted you. I did everything. And I was like, I used to live here for like a month.
Uh-huh.
I know how to get into the house. And so there was a door.
What kind of door?
A doggy door.
A doggy door. Not a dog door. A doggy door.
Yeah. For Chica.
Uh-huh.
That I was like, I could probably fit. And so I paced for a little bit in front of the doggy door. And I stare at it and I'm like, I'm a big man. How am I going feet first? Am I going head first? And so I decide, well, if I go feet first, I won't know where my feet are. And if Mark comes around the corner at that time, he's just going to see an ass.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, if it's my head, you know, maybe it won't be as horrible.
Hmm.
So I go head first. I'm crawling out and crawling through. Mark comes walking down the hallway.
Yeah.
I'm just barely fully in. Mark turns the corner and he goes, get up. And I'm like, hi, Mark. And you go, what the?
Yeah. So that's why Tyler broke in. And how dare you?
It's a really funny story. But in that moment, I was like, I will never do this again. We had a whole conversation about it.
It's fine. All right, so, okay, another being has left me. But now Panda Malefico has a real spicer of an accusation. Hey, everybody, I was catching up on episodes of the podcast, and both, well, mostly Tyler, mostly Tyler, mentioned a Discord server. I looked on their socials and I haven't found any link. Did I lose my chance to join? Or are they lying liars that lie and I just haven't gotten the chance to create it? Well, Tyler, what is it?
So, Mark, wasn't it when we first talked about the Discord, when you first brought it up on the podcast, you said, oh, I'll do that today after we finish recording?
Mark's not here right now. I'm Panda Malfi.
So, soon, TM.
Soon, TM. All right. Well, we'll get on Mark's case whenever we find that bastard. We'll beat him to a pulp until we know where the Discord is. All right. There's more stuff here. Oh, wait. No, here we go. I don't even know what this is. All right. I'm going to channel it anyway because I'm assuming I don't need to know. So this is from Carter Kemp Malone. Hot take. Lawrence Taylor is the GOAT based on singular success. His defense was mostly built around his freakish athleticism that carried a mediocre offense through a tough NFC East. Plus, using crack as a performance-enhancing drug is some pretty metal shit. Take that, Tyler! Take that, spicy hot take! Who's Lawrence Taylor?
Lawrence Taylor is a football player, American football player. He played linebacker for the New York Giants.
Giants?
I believe Lawrence Taylor appeared in Waterboy.
When did you mention Lawrence Taylor? What? Why? I don't know why this has come up.
Lawrence Taylor is in there as Lawrence Taylor. Yeah, Lawrence Taylor appeared in the movie Waterboy, which is the, for those of you that don't know sports movies, that's the Adam Sandler sports movie where he goes against his mother's wishes and joins a football team and opens up a can of whoop-ass on everybody.
And he smoked crack?
No, but Lawrence Taylor did cocaine, I'm pretty sure. Based on what they're saying, I think that's what it was. Using it as a performance-enhancing drug. Lawrence Taylor was a freak athlete. He obviously was great at his time. A lot of people look at him as a great linebacker. But arguing that he's the greatest of all time in a sport that, again, requires 11 players to be successful, especially on defense, you can't equate one player to being the greatest of all time, period, in the sport of football. There's just too much interconnectivity, being in the right place in the right time. If the offense passes the ball more back when Lawrence Taylor played, he wouldn't have as many opportunities to make a tackle or do what he did. So for one thing, he used cocaine as a performance enhancing drug, which is one thing in and of itself that would, to me, disqualify him from being in the GOAT conversation.
But you don't even have a GOAT conversation.
No,
every time there is a GOAT conversation, you say, like, there is no GOAT.
Unless it's an individual sport. I will argue in individual sports and sports that require less team connectivity and interworking that there can be a GOAT conversation.
But what about if you say the greatest running back of all time?
Or even then.
Even then?
Yeah, because the offensive line has to block. They have to get the ball more. Even they still are used as receivers in the offense. How's the offense run? Who are they playing against? What year is it? Is it during a passing era when everybody's passing? Is it during a rushing era? Like, Adrian Peterson's a great running back, but that doesn't mean he can be designated as the greatest of all time. Sport has evolved and football has evolved massively, and the rules and penalties and everything within that, that you simply cannot look at anybody and be like, that's the best.
My brain is exploding. That sounds good to me. All right. I'm expunging all ghosts from my body. Thank you all who participated on the Discord. If you've got more spicy takes, please put them on the Discord or the hashtag GMFST on Twitter or wherever, and we'll find them, and I will channel your ghost through my corporeal form and accuse. I will accuse Tyler right in front of him.
My favorite thing is you said Discord instead of Reddit.
Whatever. We'll edit it. I don't know. I'm getting flashbacks from these possessions. They're really affecting my being.
Go to the Discord. The Discord.
Yeah, the Discord. Yeah, get the Discord out there. I'll make it right now. I'm going to do it right. I don't know if I can do it right now. I'm going to try to do it right now, live on the air. I'll do it when I get home. All right, so thus concludes the accusation portion.
All right.
Any sports news?
Well, I was at the Stanley Cup. The Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, that was the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that was the NHL Finals.
Somehow in all of this, I did not realize that that was the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's why it was a big deal that the Tampa Bay Lightning had me come out. And not only that, I got to see two games of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And go behind the scenes, interacting with staff in the offices, hearing them talk about things that a normal person should not hear them talk about with regard to like player acquisition or re-signing and stuff like that.
You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Go, my favorite sports team is hitting the mainstream. We're getting invited to finals. I was definitely there, 100% in attendance. You can see the picture evidence everywhere that Tyler has posted it. I am there.
Yeah, Mark totally showed up like he said he would.
I definitely did, and no one can make any accusations towards me about being a bad friend or a lazy co-host, because I was 100% there, and anyone who says otherwise, I will fight in an arena of sport of your choice and also my judging. I'll keep score.
No, but it was really cool. I had to pull some strings because I had contacts within the Tampa Bay Lightning. A good friend of mine, JP, was a lovely host in helping us do stuff while he was so busy. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't know, they have a pregame show called The Chirp. I was invited and joined Seth and JP on that show and then went and watched the game. I filmed a whole bunch of stuff that will be on the GMFST YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But it was a really cool trip being able to go to the Stanley Cup and learn more about hockey for all of you hockey fans out there that were upset by the primer. Now you can be jealous I went to the Stanley Cup and you didn't.
Yeah, take that, everyone. Rub it in their faces. Kick them in the dirt. Make them eat dirt.
Make them eat the ice.
Don't worry, guys. I'm on your side. Just don't accuse me of not being at this event.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But
who won?
The first game, the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Avs 6-2. The second game, it went into overtime.
Ooh.
The Lightning looked great in the first period. There was a lot of stuff that happened throughout the game that they just kept looking more and more fatigued and making mental mistakes they usually don't make. And they lost in overtime 3-2.
Okay.
So Friday, they went to Denver and played the Avs in their home stadium.
Okay.
And they upset them and beat them. So the series is now 3-2 in favor of the Avs. So if the Avs win one more game, they win the Stanley Cup.
So it's not over.
Yeah. The Lightning are literally on the edge of a cliff, just fighting back to stay alive and hopefully get that third championship in a row.
Who wins to make me win the bet?
It's impossible for you now.
I don't think that's true.
The Golden State Warriors won the NBA Finals, which was my prediction. Mm-hmm. The Avs made it to the Finals when you picked the Oilers too, and both of us picked the Maple Leafs, and they didn't make it. So it is literally impossible for you to win the bet of chauffeur.
You know, that sounds like a quitter's attitude. Oh, that was another jacuzzi that I did not channel that you mentioned. Someone said that if you're not in a sport to win, why are you even there? If you're okay with losing, as our Lord and Savior Ninja once said...
No.
If you lose the drive to win, you might as well get out of the game or something like that.
He's like, if you're not angry after you lose, then you don't care.
Yeah, you didn't care. And you don't care because I haven't lost yet. The people are on my side. I was there at the game. I haven't lost yet. I tell the truth. And everybody knows it. There is a Discord right now that anyone can join. If you haven't found it, you're not a dedicated enough fan. Period. A lot of commas in there, but then a period at the end.
Can I say that about all the people that actually thought I was dead, and then every time they found something in my mind, they're like, oh, Tyler, you're still on the internet? Guys, I've been streaming for so long.
Like, no. Man, I'll miss you, Tyler.
Or the people that think I'm Bob.
Oh, yeah, that was a weird one. You sound completely different, but yeah, it might be Bob. Yeah,
it's totally Bob.
Yeah, definitely Bob. All right, so we'll never know who's going to win that bet.
I think we know who already won.
We'll never know, and it'll be really down to the wire of this final sport thing that they're going to do.
All right, I think we should get into the podcast now.
We are in the podcast. This is the podcast.
Fine, the actual topic that we're going to talk about
today. Yes, yes. What is the actual topic?
Defining athlete.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a short episode. All right. Let's see. Google.com.
No. Without looking it up.
I'm looking it up. You can't stop me. A person who is proficient in sport and other forms of physical exercise.
All right. So to get into that as well, athletic is physically strong, fit, and active.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the reason I bring this up is, like, at the very beginning, you know, you think about sports, you think of athletes, right? They're sports athletes.
Sure.
So this gets into the conversation of how do we define an athlete if in order for it to be a sport, it's participated in by athletes, right?
I notice you're making the distinction of sports athlete.
At the moment, yes.
At the moment.
But you can be athletic.
Yes.
And be an athlete.
Yes.
Without being a sports participant.
Okay, yes.
So in your mind, just going forward with this first act, how would you define it? Obviously, we have our definitions. We have the understanding of what we just read. But what is your vision? When you think of an athlete, what do you picture?
Bulging veins. You can see their heartbeat on their skin. I'm not saying where they have bulging veins. They have to at least have bulging veins somewhere on their body. At least one muscle in their entire body is yoked out of their gourds. I don't care what muscle. They've got one that is just like tuned like a piano, like just
for whatever reason I'm thinking of the strongest muscle in the human body being the tongue, and I'm just like, the tongue is tuned like a piano.
Yeah. Look, don't question the tongue athletes. They are so far above you, you would never even stand a chance in a French kissing contest.
Tongue wrestling coming to an arena near you.
I mean, that's already a sport. I'm sorry. There's a world record for, like, the longest kiss, right?
There's a world record for the longest French kiss,
specifically.
Yeah.
And that's got to take some tongue.
Is there, like, a tongue per second that you have to do to qualify for that?
What's your TPS at? Man, I'm just struggling today. My TPS real low this week.
I'm sorry, honey. My TPS is low.
Meanwhile, the veins on her tongue are just dunk, 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 dunk. I want another partner in this.
Anyway. I need a better tongue wrestling tag team, man.
Anyway, so athletic, you know, for some reason, okay, if I'm being totally serious, for some reason, the initial definition that pops in my mind is running. I don't know why, but that's like the default mode in my brain. They can run a certain distance in one run, in one go of running. What is in one run, in one go? Help, help me, help, Tyler, help. Use your master's degree. What is it? You go for in one run, right? That's not right. Is that right? That's right.
There's a lot of ways to call it, so you've
but
never
why does
been
it sound
wrong.
Wrong?
Because you're saying run
you
and
go,
run in the same
sentence.
You can
run a long distance in one run.
You can say one go.
No.
Run a long distance
in
one go, one session.
In one set? A set of running? Is it like weightlifting?
I mean, you could do sets because sets
what
and is sprinting.
It? What is it?
One circuit.
That's biking or racing. One, one excursion. I'm going to an excursion. You can run a long distance in one excursion. And I'm final answer. Go.
Physically, when you see somebody, how do you look at them? That's an athlete.
Well, for some reason, athletic. I'm going with athletic first. If you are athletic, in my mind, that has been trained since I was a baby to know, oh, if you can run a certain distance, you are at least somewhat athletic.
Okay, so cardiovascular is mostly
what
you're focused on.
That's
so they have a good, I'm going to use a science term, a good VO2 max.
Okay.
Which has to do with breathing
and
stuff like
that. Is that like TPS? Is that like tongues per second?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
What?
Oh, cut it out, Will.
No, say it again. Say it again.
No, I'm not saying anything again.
VO2 max is the maximum oxygen consumption that an individual can utilize during intense or maximum exercise. So VO2 max is a measurement that is done scientifically with regard to whether you are able to scale a mountain. So a lot of times you have to have a certain VO2 max before they allow you to, like, I mean, it's kind of changed over the years, but VO2 max is utilized as a tool for mountain climbing, in particular for like understanding how in shape you are.
Okay, so what are the numbers, just to give me an idea? Because like, I think my watch tracks some kind of VO2 max, so but I'm not sure what it means.
It's kind of based on age. So if your VO2 max is 62 and you're age 20 to 24, mm-hmm. that's excellent. Very poor would be less than 32.
Okay, I know you just said it. I didn't catch any of it. Can you say it again? I literally took none of that in.
Okay, so at our age, I'm just going to go with our age.
Okay.
Having a VO2 max that is over 54
okay.
is in the top 1 percentile.
That's pretty good.
Like, that's considered very excellent.
For our age group.
General average is about 39 to 43.
Okay, and that's for a normal everyday person, not really an athlete.
Correct.
So maybe runs a little bit.
So basically, if you like, if you're just in generally like in decent cardiovascular shape, that's about where you'd be.
Okay. And so in layman's terms, this is the mentality of like when you're running and you get winded and then you keep running every day for a while, you get less winded because your body is more efficient at processing oxygen.
That is completely correct.
Okay. There, I got it. I got the thing. I took anatomy and physiology courses
yeah.
in my biomedical engineering degree that I did not get.
This was in my kinesiology class.
Okay.
But yeah, VO2 max is considered one of the big measures of fitness level, especially when it comes to cardiovascular. Obviously, an athlete to me, I picture somebody who's like, there's a bunch of different body types for being athletic, but they are able to not only run and not get winded very quickly, but lift. And like, they have an athletic physique that's like less body fat.
Uh-huh.
So lower body fat percentage, body composition is focused more on the skeletal muscles and less on body fat. So I'd say usually below like around 20% or lower body fat, I would consider an athlete.
Okay. And here's a fun fact that I bet not a lot of people out there know. Some people know, and I bet you know this, is people don't understand exactly how your fat leaves your body when mm-hmm. you are losing fat. A lot of people probably think you either poop it out or piss it out or something like that. You excrete it in some way. No, you breathe it out. Not a lot of people realize what the whole deal is with oxygen going to carbon dioxide. The carbon molecules in your polysaccharides of your fat get converted and then attached to that O2 in the combustion process of burning your energy, and then you breathe out the carbon. You literally lose weight by breathing it out. And what people also don't realize is that that's how plants get all of their body mass. They don't pull all of it from the ground. They literally breathe their bodies into existence because the carbon dioxide that they take in, they take that carbon and build themselves. Not many people realize this kind of really intuitive system of like that which we are as organic beings, organic meaning organic chemistry, which is relating to carbon. Carbon fuels everything.
Yeah, that's why mid to low intensity like cardiovascular exercise is the highest percentage of fat burning exercise you can do.
Is that true? Because I've heard a lot about high intensity interval training recently, saying like the afterburn effect of that, of your body like,
yeah.
recuperating
so,
from that.
So there's a level in which you have to get the intensity up, and as like there's a couple of different studies that show different things.
Uh-huh.
But if you're doing focused on one exercise,
right,
which is the easiest way to compare scientifically, because when you do multiple different things, it's you have too many variables.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on one exercise, walking at like a, I think it's a 3% incline at a moderate pace is the highest like fat burning exercise, like sole exercise by itself that causes fat burning.
Yeah.
There's actually a heart rate measure that shows you that, like, that's why machines have that heart rate that says this is the fat burning stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get into higher intensity, it's pulling more from your glycerin stores within your muscles because it's focused more on getting the muscles to activate quicker.
Yeah.
So it's focused on sugar burning as opposed to fat burning.
Yeah. If, and again, I don't have a degree in anatomy and physiology, and this is kind of deviating away, but I think it does relate in terms of athletics. And I love talking about this stuff. A lot of people, when they think about these zones, what it actually is defining as physiological processes within the body, and there are different avenues of energy burning or energy creation in the body. All of it's related to ATP. Your body runs on ATP. The amount of ATP you go through in a day would stun you. I think the equivalent is like you go through your body's weight in ATP molecules every day. That's how much your body is recycling the adenosine triphosphate or adenosine diphosphate into adenosine triphosphate and then burning it. It's a constant cycle. One pathway is a very efficient pathway that predominantly uses oxygen and it like burns fat and it's like it doesn't use sugar. Sugars are for quick energy where your body can anaerobically burn it, and that is without oxygen, anaerobically being like oxygen-based or air-based, and it can burn it without it very quickly, but it runs out of those and it creates a lot of waste products. So that's high-intensity interval training. It will burn your sugars, and your body has to replace those sugars no matter what, and the efficiency with which you replace those is what you're conditioning versus the other lower intensity, which is conditioning purely the cycle of efficient fat burning, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay, and I don't know the exact efficiencies of those. That's just my general understanding of it. I'm going to go back to stupid mode. If I'm wrong, you say on subreddit, Mark and Big Dumb.
Uh-huh. So I think we both came to a similar conclusion that cardiovascular health is a big indicator of athletic ability in an athlete. Mm-hmm. Because you look at any sport, there's a level of cardiovascular endurance that is required.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
period.
Of course.
And all be all.
Just to compete with the other people, you know, on the same field.
Yeah, and that's also great for your brain. So if you're doing stuff that isn't necessarily as physical, if you have a better VO2 max, you are also feeding more oxygen to your brain. It's more efficient in utilizing that oxygen.
Interesting. I think it's the brain only runs on sugar. I don't think the brain can burn fat like muscles can.
But your body has the ability to turn fat into sugar and the ability to turn protein into sugar.
Yeah, but the brain doesn't directly have it. Because muscles, I believe, have the ability to convert...
It has fat and sugar storage within it.
Yeah, they have both. And I think the brain just relies on sugar. The brain actually uses, I think, anywhere from like 15 to 20% of your daily calories just in your brain.
I'd have to do my research again. It's been years.
It's one of like, that's why humans are like have become the way we are, is because the natural adaptation to making a bigger brain is really calorically intensive. Like brains are, compared to computers, very efficient. Like they're about 10 watts of power versus like a 1,000-watt computer or something like that. And they can do ungodly more calculations per second. It's an incredible machine, but also it's very calorically intensive in comparison to like the living natural world around us.
Well, yeah, there's a big reason why when you're like using your brain a lot, like when people say they're exhausted, why they say mentally exhausted versus physically exhausted, because your body may not be aching, but you're already tired because you've been using your brain a lot that day.
Yeah, exactly. The ability to try to focus and like maintain focus, that is a muscle, not a muscle literally, but a muscle in the same way as everything else in your life. Willpower is a muscle. It's something you can train and make more efficient. Everything in your body is adaptable to a degree, and by utilizing it more, you get better at that thing. It's one of those things, a common misconception of people are like, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be a better person, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to like go for the run. I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to do this project. That's not how it works. If yesterday you weren't capable of it, the next day you won't magically be capable of it. You might get one good day, but you'll exhaust yourself for the next. It's much better to try to make an incremental improvement, because you wouldn't go and try to do a 300-pound bench press the day you want to get in shape.
Yeah.
You would destroy yourself.
But more than likely, you wouldn't be able to do it, for one, because your nerves aren't acclimated to recruiting all of your muscle fibers that are necessary for such a lift, which is a lot of people think, oh, you're just building muscle. No, you're training your brain and your neurological system to trigger the muscles and activate more for the necessary lift.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, for one, your muscles probably aren't there. The nerves aren't activating enough for you to be able to lift that. And more than likely, you're going to drop it on yourself, and that's very dangerous.
Yeah. All big problems. So beware your brain.
Yeah. So, going to Act 2. Because we've gotten really deep into this initial conversation.
Yeah.
Much like you had me build the ideal quarterback.
Okay.
Build your perfect athlete. Describe them.
Oh my God, I've been waiting for this. Do I have to pull from people I know? Because I don't know that many people.
I mean, if you want to pull from people you know that the audience might know, and like use them as examples, or just describe like their rippling muscles or their bulging brain or whatever it is.
Okay, bulging brain. So my perfect athlete, right? It's kind of a balance because you're optimized. It can't be too bulky, right? It's got to be lean, got to be long, flexible, whatnot.
Aerodynamic.
Hairless. That's a given. From the get-go, bald as a baby, beyond baby bald, further than baby bald. No hair ever. Has never had hair. Not a wrinkle. There can't be any rippling muscles because that could cause... No, it's the opposite. It's like a golf ball. It is more aerodynamic than a perfect sphere. So all the muscles are so intensely divoted at a very equal pacing across the body. And that's the way that the maximum speed is going to be achieved. If you don't believe me, look up a golf ball's aerodynamics. This is how it works. So dimples on the head, the eyes are perfect dimples. There's dimples around the temples. The cheeks are dimpled, dimpled chin. Everything is dimpled on this person. Everything about it dimpled. If it's male, like the pectorals are dimpled. If it's female, the boobs are dimpled. It doesn't matter. Dimpled. And it's like the ability to run is capital on lung size. So chest enormous. Barrel chested, but purely for the ability of lung capacity. There's nothing that's going to stop this. And there is actually a biological adaptation to allow continual circular breathing. However, only when you're running. So it's like a shark underwater. It has to keep swimming or else it'll die. This athlete cannot stop moving or they will die.
Oh my God.
So they got like gills, but it's like an exhaust vent, right? So they take in air and they actually breathe it out their back gills to get more speed or push when they're lifting, or like they can channel vents on their elbows to throw a farther punch if they take in air and then vent it out the back of their elbow gill to boom, like get like a rocket punch in there. And it can work for their feet too. They got feet vents for faster sprinting and everything. Everything is centered around this billow system, like a series of pillows expanding and contracting.
What? My thing is, I picture their torso is just a jet engine and like a jet.
Yes, exactly. It looks it's perfectly circular. It's very, their mouth gaping. Like just air intake. Like all air intake.
Right before they swim, they just open up and all of a sudden you see the vacuum suction of air.
Exactly. It actually helps pull them forward because they're actually sucking air in and blasting out the back. It's for further propulsion. Everything based on speed and power and instantaneous ability to their VO2 max over 9,000, like incredible.
What's their minimum calorie intake?
They need 100,000 calories a day just to survive. That's why their mouth is so large, because also like their chest is so large, so their stomach and actually their excretion system is an additional propulsion. They're They actually have a cloaca, so it's like compacts everything. And boom. For those of you who don't know, cloaca is what a bird or something has. It's like a combination pee tube and poop tube.
Yeah.
And also, like, I think sexual organ tube. Boom, everything.
All at once.
Boom. For the extra, even if it's one more foot per second forward, boom, get it. Anything possible for that little edge.
Oh,
and that's
my God.
That is the ultimate athlete.
So, not, I mean, in all fairness, just based on your description,
right,
they'd be the fastest, both in air and water.
Mm-hmm.
They would.
Oh, I didn't even think water. Yeah, water. Also, because it is gills.
Yeah, because they basically wouldn't even have to breathe because they'd just be breathing underwater. They're going to be the champion of any world eating competition because they have to consume 100,000 calories a day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So world champion, like.
They are crushing every event where it's a competition. They are perfectly adapted for it. Brain huge, by the way, also ungodly.
The one thing I will say they might not win, is strongest man or strongest person competition.
No, easily.
They're just by breathing out, they can lift thousands
of pounds.
That's
what I said, the elbow vents for getting more lifts, foot vents, they got all the vents. And cooling is like an obvious thing because they got all this airflow. They're practically air cooled.
This sounds like it's a military experiment of murder because the way they're able to throw a punch, they would punch through people.
Yes, that's the whole thing. And just imagine two of these things going at it.
Oh my God.
Be terrifying to face that down.
Oh my God.
It's like some Left 4 Dead zombie.
This is like the Flash combined with Superman, combined with Aquaman.
Combined with a big mouth bass.
Combined with, what is that? The anglerfish.
Oh, yeah, the anglerfish.
Because the ability to just...
Yeah, and that's the flat one on the on the ocean. Either way, also a basking shark, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the ultimate athlete. I will take no questions.
All right,
I will provide no answers.
My ultimate athlete body is vastly different than that.
Oh yeah, well.
I would say they're probably tall.
Probably
around 6'6".
Okay.
They're going to be probably around 5% body fat.
That's low.
Which is like the minimum you can be healthily is 5%.
All right.
They are very high VO2 max.
Okay.
If the high VO2 max that's considered excellent, they have it at over 100.
Over
their
100.
VO2 max is over 100.
I thought you said the like 1% was like over 50.
Yes.
Can you be up to 100?
There are freak endurance athletes that have insane VO2 maxes. A lot of like cyclists for the Tour de France have crazy VO2 maxes.
Good God.
Because if you think about it, they're cycling like back-to-back days, miles upon miles of mountains and everything.
How fast do they go? Because I
faster than a car on a highway in the United States.
What?
They can go up to 80 plus miles an hour.
What?
Yeah.
Because I just got an electric bike. It's a very nice Super 73 RX. It wasn't provided.
A Tour de France biker next to you would go faster than you, than your electric bike.
What? Also, shout out to Super 73. They gave me a bike a long time ago, and I never said anything about it. I bought this RX, and I just wanted to say thank you. I know I didn't fulfill my influencer end of the bargain, and this is me saying Super 73 is great. We're not sponsored. If we could get sponsored by Super 73, dude.
That would be huge.
Should I reach out to them? If they can get you a bike, we would love to be sponsored by Super 73. But also, holy shit, that bike can go, the reason I bring it up, that bike can go 30 miles an hour.
I'm incorrect on flatland because they go over 85 like downhill.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
Rowan Dennis broke a record for the fastest average speed in a time trial at 34.5 miles per hour.
Average?
Average was 34.5.
Average?
Yeah.
When I came
25 to 28 miles per hour is the average for Tour de France riders on flat land.
25 to 28?
25 to 28. The fastest average speed in the time trial was 34.5.
How long are these races?
225 kilometers.
200?
Yeah, 225 kilometers.
200.
One stage is performed every day, covers roughly 225 kilometers. Takes 5.5 hours to complete.
5.5 hours and your average speed is 28?
Stage 10, which is like the ride up a mountain, is 148 kilometers.
148 kilometers up a mountain.
Yeah, it was Tuesday, July 12th at 148 kilometers. Stage 10 at the Tour de France is a relatively short race, but it's a tough one. The riders get the taste of the Alps.
They get a taste of the Alps, yeah.
They're climbing the Alps. The longest stage in the Tour de France in history is the fifth stage. It was 482 kilometers, 300 miles. And they cover that in about 6 hours. Tour de France cyclists are freak athletes.
Okay. Yeah, I've always known that like cyclists in general, the extreme ones, are a different breed of person. Like, because you see them on weekends, you'll see people all in the full cyclist gear. They got the streamlined aerodynamic jacket all zipped up. They got the goggles, helmet on, like super swoop on the helmet, and the shorts, like you could see everything. Yeah. And it's just like, you know that they are committed to that style of riding. Meanwhile, I am in my like sweatpants and my t-shirt on my electric bike, and I go by them like up a hill, and I smirk a little, but I know that I'm cheating. But also just like, it's a different type of person, because I like riding the electric bike on pedal assist because I still like to get a little bit of workout. But how many calories do you burn in one day on a Tour de France if you're going the average like 150 miles? Even that, 150 miles in 7 miles to get here, my watch says I burned 300 calories.
Yeah.
70 would be 3,000. Double that would be 6,000 calories. They're burning over 6,000, probably more.
Have you ever?
Because I had an electric bike. Wait, I had an electric bike. If I had to bike that on my own, it would probably like double or triple the amount of calories. God. Okay. Let's say conservatively, let's say like, because it was actually 350. So what if it was like, let's say it was 800 calories to get here for 7 miles. It's like maybe 100 calories a mile-ish, a little more. And they had to go. So it's, you have 800, 8,000 to get to 16,000 calories.
You should see what they eat.
What do they eat? Are they the big mouth bass, man?
We'll have to get into that when we get into the primer on the Tour de France.
Oh, my God. Whoa, my
but
God.
Going back into my athlete,
oh, sure.
Having an insane VO2 max like a cyclist.
Right, right, right.
Going into muscle mass like a linebacker or running back. I mean, you've got rippling veins. You've got calves that are ready to shoot you to the moon if you decide to jump. You basically have springs for legs in your muscles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They can bench 225 like 100 times and be like, yeah, I did this. Like,
that's the first thing I would say after I benched.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, I did that. Then jump to the moon. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. They just climb up the Alps. Oh, I did that.
But like 6'6 and 5% body fat.
Uh-huh.
They're thick. Like, they're probably like 300 pounds, but they're absolute pure muscle and they're lean. Like, they're lean, dense muscle, high muscle fiber count, low hypertrophy, fluid hypertrophy in the muscles. They have cat like muscles.
Okay.
Whereas they get stronger, they're just adding new muscle fibers.
Okay.
So it's like how you strengthen a cable. There's more fibers, the stronger the cable is.
How do humans do that?
It's not fully capable right now. They don't understand how exactly to get hypertrophy that adds muscle fibers versus hypertrophy that adds the fluid. Both increase strength. One does it in a more nuanced manner. that it actually results in overall greater strength and greater reactivity is when you have
I would love to
fibers.
Do an episode that's like actually deep dive research into this stuff, because this stuff does fascinate me. I really am like the anatomy and physiology. The human body is a fascinating machine. I am big of the mind that all of these like, oh, AI is going to make a robot and it's going to be, oh, it's going to kill all of us. It's going to be so fast. And I'm like, do you realize how intricate and complicated and amazingly optimized the human body is? Like, biological creatures are ungodly refined. Like, the cellular structure of these self-repairing autonomous beings that we are is stunning. I would be flabbergasted if we stupid humans were able to build something that could make itself better than that, even if it had the greatest computer in the world. The brain is like, processing power is untapped. It's stupid how smart and incredibly designed our bodies are.
Yes.
So it would be a long time before anything could come even close.
And now we move on to Act 3.
Oh, God.
So we've decided what we picture athletes as.
Okay.
And what the ideal athlete is. But now we define athlete.
Mm.
How does this now relate to your vision of what is or isn't a sport? And how these athletes are involved in sport? Because, you know, we picture athletes in a certain way because of obviously social indicators and the different things we've learned throughout life of what sport is and what society deems as athletic, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that changes over time because now we have so many different sports that require different things versus other sports.
Uh-huh.
And we focus on the main thing of being running, being able to be fast and strong, but not every sport requires speed and strength.
Right.
We didn't talk about the motor skills of eye-hand coordination. We didn't talk about any of the quick twitch reactions that a lot of different sports require. We mostly focused on macro events.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because all those are in the brain, like the reflexes, the reaction time, all of the flexibility and whatnot. That's all, that's not brain, but like a lot of these things in terms of like sports skill-based things are neurologically based because they have to be trained, they have to be practiced innumerable times to get the patterns down perfectly. And you know, they're saying, you know, practice makes perfect is not true. Practice makes permanent. I think maybe you've said that. I've heard that and said it many times, but people still don't realize that. It's just because you practice something doesn't mean you're going to get good at it. You're just going to reinforce that pattern. That's how bad habits form too.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting the right training and getting the right skills like established, like down to good coaching, good teamwork and good study and good science, you know, getting that as early as possible is essential. Sorry, where were you going with this?
We're going with the concept of what we vision as an athlete and how it doesn't fit into every category of what sport is.
Right. Okay, cool. So you got your 6'6" dude, 300 pounds, 5% body fat. That's good for some sports.
Yeah.
That might not be good for all sports.
No.
Interesting. So the most athletic human in the world might not be the best at all sports.
Correct.
Except for mine. Mine's best at all sports.
No.
No, mine is. Everything you think he has is an adaptation for, or she, anyone. It's kind of like gender has gone out the window with this athlete that I have. As just no gender. Just
I did
human.
Yeah, I did forget to indicate that my athlete is both genders, both male and female, because there are benefits to the estrogen levels and the female anatomy in the human body, and there are adaptations in the male body that if you can have both, you get the benefits of both worlds. Because pain tolerance and stuff like that is higher in the female anatomy, biologically speaking, and there's certain levels of biochemistry that help in athleticism in certain areas that an athlete would have, whereas the testosterone for muscle building and the various elements on that front is huge for certain aspects within sport as well.
Well, I've got you beat because my athlete has estrosterone. It's a new hybrid hormone. It's got the best of both built in one molecule. You'll never compete.
But yeah, like we picture an athlete in a very certain way.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't fit every category of what sport is, because you go into sports like the esports.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody who's extremely muscular, it's highly unlikely that they will necessarily be great at doing that sport because they have a lot of wasted energy just maintaining their muscle mass where it's not needed.
Yeah, because one of the things that separated humans from other primates is we have fine motor control. And fine motor control comes at a sacrifice of pure muscle strength. We have the ability to weave things, use tools with incredible dexterity. We have, like, if you think about it, the five appendages, the phalanges on the ends of our hands are able to be independently moved, to manipulate, to move them in extremely refined motions. And that's a different type of neurological impulse compared to impulse strength, which is just one strong signal to do a controlled signal of varying levels to play the piano or type on a keyboard. Like all of us have really an amazing amount of dexterity just like with those basic skills, but that comes at a cost of muscle strength. However, you can train to overemphasize the heavy impulse for like strength-based things.
Yep.
And that's how strong men can bend to like a cast iron pot. You know, they've got the strong impulse. You know, they don't need refinement. They need a little dexterity, but they don't need the refinement to just like push 500 pounds like up in the air. They need the strength.
And there's certain sports that require a softer touch and a more fine-tuned movement to, instead of pushing the joystick all the way to the right, you need to move it just like a tenth or less.
Esports definitely would be the big one about that.
Yeah, and that's even the same thing with a bunch of other sports, like underwater basket weaving.
Yeah, underwater basket weaving. We all know that sport. It's incredible. My athlete is great at that.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to breathe. No, but even like chess. Like thinking about how you need to have more refined movements of placement and then being able to press the timer, or having so much blood flow to your brain to be able to understand and think multiple steps ahead.
Yeah.
Like there's a bunch of different sports that require not only a like brute force, but a softer touch.
Yeah.
Pickleball is a great example, which we haven't really talked about much, but being able to hit it short. The soft touch in so many different sports and so many different games is so important compared to the heavy hand all the time. A lot of times you need both.
Yeah.
And so the human body, like if you go to different sports and different areas in there, the definition of athlete within that sport completely changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is no perfect athlete besides mine?
I mean, yours basically is an alien cyborg species of some kind that you created.
No, human-ish.
I like how you echoed your own ish.
I can't wait for fan art of this monster. It's going to be the scariest thing. Gotta ask an AI to write out, like, you know, the image AI generations, like, to try to draw up what the hell I just said.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be very fun. But, okay, let's say, all right, my athlete was made in a lab and testosterone isn't actually a hormone. You know, it's just a really powerful steroid or whatever. Like, so when it comes down to the average person, how does this affect us in our day-to-day lives?
So for me, it's the biggest thing of being able to look at people and recognize that anybody you look at could be an athlete without you realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you yourself, if you don't play sports, if you're not in the greatest shape of your life or anything like that, you too can be an athlete in your own way.
Uh-huh.
And obviously being able to be in good health is a huge part of being an athlete. And we talked about the major indicators of like, would VO2 max with cardiovascular health, body fat and body composition being a huge thing. Both of those things are not just indicators of athletic ability, they're indicators of health.
Yeah.
And like, if you're too low in body fat, that's unhealthy. If you're too high in body fat, that's unhealthy.
Yeah.
But even then, like, there's so much more to an athlete than what society views. Mm-hmm. Just like there's so much more to a person than what society determines what is beautiful or what is this. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have been affected by our experiences in life. And so I've gone through certain sports where I see people and think of that's an athlete because I've played those sports, whereas somebody who played something different has a different picture of an athlete.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize what they're capable of either.
Yeah.
You know, everyone in their day-to-day life does, you know, you don't have to be an Olympic athlete. You don't have to be a marathon runner or a Tour de France biker. But all of us are capable to, more or less, not all of us, but like a lot of us are capable of really incredible things if we put our minds to it, if we put our bodies to it, and if we push our limits. It's kind of like that is the natural state of the human being itself, is to have what are called negative stressors. Negative stressors, like living in a maintained environment, let's say, for example, just like 72 degrees air conditioned environment where you are sedentary most of your life, sitting in front of a couch, all your foods are provided for you, you have no chasing of anything. That, even me describing that, sounds like a relatively unfulfilling life.
Yeah.
And that's because there are no negative stressors. You know, as soon as you introduce, like, that's why people emphasize taking cold showers, going for a run is a negative stressor technically, but you will feel better afterwards. But that's putting your body through stress, because your body only gets stronger in response to stress. Your body only gets like stronger by adapting to what you are telling it to do. Running, you will get better at running. Weightlifting, your muscles will become stronger depending on how you weightlift. When you try to mentally focus on something for longer and longer periods of time, you will get better at focusing on something to an extent, right? Like, there are limitations. I have ADHD, you know, like, as much as I have therapies and techniques that I use to focus, it's up to a limit. But just because you have those limitations doesn't mean you shouldn't try to, like, push to those limits, see how far you can go. I say this as someone who's trying to get in shape again. You know, I fell out of it. My personal trainer, Alex, is going to be very upset with me at how poor my performance is when I go back in on Tuesday.
Oh, you're going back.
I'm going back. I'm going back, baby. He's gonna be very upset with me. But, like, we are all capable of more than we think.
Yeah. And I think that that speaks to the human condition in so many different ways, because our bodies only adapt to the environment that we put ourselves into. Mm-hmm. And that's everything in life.
Yeah.
Like, the only way you learn more things is to be open to it and to experience more. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with our immune system. Our immune system has to experience things for it to grow stronger and be able to fight things.
Yeah.
That's literally why vaccines were invented, because it exposes us to them without the risk of heavy illness. Mm-hmm. And so everything about life, if whether you look at it in one way or another, is defined by experiences. Mm-hmm. So go out and make some.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right. And with that, we'll conclude this episode of Go My Favorite Sports Team. Thank you, Tyler, for your expert guidance on this topic. Thank you, me, for coming up with the ultimate athlete. And thank you, everybody listening, for being a wonderful listener. You have gained 10 experience points. Please use them wisely. And Tyler, any closing statements?
Simply check out the Reddit and Discord, and be ready for, it's not up yet, but the YouTube channel.
I feel like we've been talking about it for months now.
I know.
And
but
merch,
the website's
yes.
up.
Oh, the website's up?
Yeah, gmfst.com.
Oh, we got that?
Yeah.
We got that domain?
We have the domain. We We haven't officially built it out as our own personal thing, but it directs to the Wood Elf website that focuses
hell
on
yeah. Hell yeah. We're going to have leaderboards, mini games, athletic competitions, all on the website. It'll be great, guys.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be fantastic. All right. Be sure to like, favorite, subscribe. Tyler can be found at Apocalypto_12 on Twitter, or Tyler in some cases.
Yeah, just search Tyler Scheid. You'll find me.
Yeah, you'll find. And I'm Mark. Hey, whatever. So we'll see you around. We'll see you around, guys. Watch
Go,
out.
My favorite sports team.
Yeah, but watch out. My athlete might be lurking in your closet tonight. All right, bye.